Numbers 33:40 through Numbers 35. Now the Canaanite, the king of Arad, who lived in the Negev in the land of Canaan, heard about the coming of the sons of Israel. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor and camped at Zalmanah. They journeyed from Zalmanah and camped at Punan. They journeyed from Punan and camped at Oboth. They journeyed from Oboth and camped at Iabarim, at the border of Moab. They journeyed from Iim and camped at Dibon Gad. They journeyed from Dibon Gad and camped at Almon Diblathaim. They journeyed from Almon Diblathaim and camped in the mountains of Abarim, before Nebo. They journeyed from the mountains of Abarim and camped in the plains of Moab by the Jordan opposite Jericho. They camped by the Jordan from Beth Jeshimash as far as Abel Shittim, in the plains of Moab. Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan opposite Jericho, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from you, and destroy all their idolatrous sculptures, destroy all their cast metal images, and eliminate all their high places, and you shall take possession of the land and live in it, for I have given the land to you to possess it. You shall maintain the land as an inheritance by lot, according to your families. To the larger you shall give more inheritance, and to the smaller you shall give less inheritance. Wherever the lot falls to anyone, that shall be his. You shall pass land on as an inheritance according to the tribes of your fathers. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from you, then it will come about that those whom you let remain of them will be like thorns in your eyes and pricks in your sides, and they will trouble you in the land in which you live. And just as I plan to do to them, I will do to you." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command the sons of Israel, and say to them, when you enter the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall to you as an inheritance, that is, the land of Canaan according to its borders. Your southern region shall extend from the wilderness of Zin along the side of Edom, and your southern border shall extend from the end of the Salt Sea eastward. Then your border shall change direction from the south to the ascent of Akrabim, and continue to Zin, and its termination be to the south of Kadesh Barnea, and it shall reach Hazaradar, and continue to Azman. Then the border shall change direction from Azman to the brook of Egypt, and its termination shall be at the sea. As for the west border, you shall have the great sea, that is, its coastline. This shall be your western border. And this shall be your northern border. You shall draw your boundary from the great sea to Mount Hor. You shall draw a boundary from Mount Hor to the Lebo Hamath, and the termination of the border shall be at Zedad. And the border shall proceed to Ziphron, and its termination shall be at Hazar Enan. This shall be your northern border. For your eastern border, you shall also draw a boundary from Hazar Enan to Shepham, and the border shall go down from Shepham to Ribla, on the east side of Ain, and the border shall go down and reach to the slope on the east side of the Sea of Shinnereth, and the border shall go down to the Jordan, and its termination shall be at the Salt Sea. This shall be your land according to its borders on all sides." So Moses commanded the sons of Israel, saying, "This is the land that you are to possess by lot, which the Lord has commanded to give to the 9.5 tribes. For the tribe of the sons of Reuben have received theirs according to their fathers' households, and the tribe of the sons of Gad according to their fathers' households, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their possession. The 2.5 tribes have received their possession across the Jordan opposite Jericho, eastward toward the sunrise. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "These are the names of the men who shall assign the land to you as an inheritance: Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun. And you shall take one leader of each tribe to assign the land as an inheritance. These are the names of the men: of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh; of the tribe of the sons of Simeon, Samuel, the son of Ammihud; of the tribe of Benjamin, Eladad, the son of Shislon; and of the tribe of the sons of Dan, a leader, Buki, the son of Jogli; of the sons of Joseph, of the tribe of the sons of Manasseh, a leader, Haniel, the son of Ephod; of the tribe of the sons of Ephraim, a leader, Kemuel, the son of Shiftan; of the tribe of the sons of Zebulun, a leader, Elizaphan, the son of Parnak; of the tribe of the sons of Issachar, a leader, Paltiel, the son of Azan; of the tribe of the sons of Asher, a leader, Ahihud, the son of Shelomi; of the tribe of the sons of Naphtali, a leader, Pedahel, the son of Ammihud. These are the ones whom the Lord commanded to apportion the inheritance to the sons of Israel in the land of Canaan. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab, by the Jordan opposite Jericho, saying, "Command the sons of Israel that they give to the Levites from the inheritance of their possession cities to live in, and you shall give to the Levites pasture lands around the cities. The cities shall be theirs to live in, and their pasture lands shall be for their cattle, and for their equipment, and for all their other animals. The pasture lands of the cities which you are to give to the Levites shall extend from the wall of the city outward 1,000 cubits around. You shall also measure outside the city, and on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits, with the city in the center. This shall become theirs as pasture lands for the cities. The cities which you shall give the Levites shall be the 6 cities of refuge, which you shall provide for the one who commits manslaughter to flee to, and in addition to them you shall give 42 cities. The total number of the cities which you are to give the Levites shall be 48 cities, together with their pasture lands. As for the cities which you shall give them for the possession of the sons of Israel, you shall take more from the larger, and you shall take fewer from the smaller. Each shall give some of his cities to the Levites, in proportion to his inheritance which he possesses." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, and say to them, 'When you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall select for yourselves cities to be your cities of refuge, so that the one who commits manslaughter by killing a person unintentionally may flee there. The cities shall serve you as a refuge from the avenger, so that the one who commits manslaughter does not die until he stands before the congregation for trial. So the cities which you are to provide shall be 6 cities of refuge for you. You shall provide 3 cities across the Jordan, and 3 cities in the land of Canaan. They are to be cities of refuge. These 6 cities shall be a refuge for the sons of Israel, for the stranger, and for the foreign resident among them, so that anyone who kills a person unintentionally may flee there. But if he struck him with an iron object so that he died, he is a murderer. The murderer must be put to death. And if he struck him with a stone in the hand by which he would die, and as a result he did die, he is a murderer. The murderer must be put to death. Or if he struck him with a wooden object in the hand by which he would die, and as a result he did die, he is a murderer. The murderer must be put to death. The Blood Avenger himself shall put the murderer to death. He himself shall put him to death when he meets him. Now, if he pushed him in hatred, or he threw something at him with malicious intent, and as a result he died, or if he struck him with his hand with hostility, and as a result he died, the one who struck him must be put to death. He is a murderer. The Blood Avenger shall put the murderer to death when he meets him. But if he pushed him suddenly, without hostility, or threw any object at him without malicious intent, or had any deadly stone, and without looking he dropped it on him so that he died, while he was not his enemy, nor was he seeking to harm him, then the congregation shall judge between the one who fatally struck the victim and the Blood Avenger in accordance with these ordinances. And the congregation shall save the one who committed manslaughter from the hand of the Blood Avenger. And the congregation shall return him to his city of refuge to which he fled, and he shall live in it until the death of the high priest, who was anointed with the holy oil. But if at any time he goes beyond the border of his city of refuge to which he flees, and the Blood Avenger finds him outside the border of his city of refuge, and the Blood Avenger kills him, he will not be guilty of bloodshed, because he should have remained in his city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the one who committed manslaughter may return to the land of his prosperity. These things shall be a statutory ordinance for you throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. If anyone kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death on the testimony of witnesses, but no person shall be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. Moreover, you shall not accept a ransom for the life of a murderer who is condemned to death, but he must be put to death. You shall not accept a ransom for one who has fled to his city of refuge, so that he may return to live in the land before the death of the priest. So you shall not defile the land in which you live, for blood defiles the land, and no atonement can be made for the land for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of the one who shed it. So you shall not defile the land in which you live, in the midst of which I dwell, for I, the Lord, am dwelling in the midst of the sons of Israel. John 11. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." But when Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness is not meant for death, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son may be glorified by it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after he said to the disciples, "Let's go to Judea again," the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and yet you are going there again?" Jesus replied, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks during the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." This he said, and after this he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going so that I may awaken him from this sleep." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will come out of it." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking about actual sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, "Lazarus died, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. but let's go to him. Therefore, Thomas, who was called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let's also go, so that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 15 stadia away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. Then Martha, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise from the dead. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, and he who comes into the world. When she had said this, she left and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard this, she got up quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still at the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house were consoling her. When they saw that Mary had gotten up quickly and left, they followed her, thinking that she was going to the tomb to weep there. So when Mary came to the place where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit, and was troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept, so the Jews were saying, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could this man who opened the eyes of the man who was blind not also have kept this man from dying? So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, but I knew that you always hear me. Nevertheless, because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! Out came the man who had died, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him, and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. Some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. Therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council meeting, and they were saying, what are we doing in regard to the fact that this man is performing many signs? If we let him go on like this, all the people will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take over both our place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor are you taking into account that it is in your best interest that one man die for the people, and that the whole nation not perish instead. Now he did not say this on his own, but as he was high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but in order that he might also gather together into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they planned together to kill him. Therefore, Jesus no longer continued to walk publicly among the Jews, but went away from there to the region near the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples. Now, the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up to Jerusalem from the country prior to the Passover, in order to purify themselves. So they were looking for Jesus, and saying to one another as they stood in the temple area, "What do you think, that he will not come to the feast at all?" Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was to report it, so that they might arrest him. Second Corinthians 11. I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness, but indeed you are bearing with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his trickery, your minds will be led astray from sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, this you tolerate very well. For I consider myself not in the least inferior to the most eminent apostles. But even if I am unskilled in speech, yet I am not so in knowledge. In fact, in every way, we may have made this evident to you in all things. Or did I commit a sin by humbling myself so that you might be exalted, because I preached the gospel of God to you without charge? I robbed other churches by taking wages from them to serve you. And when I was present with you, I was in need. I was not a burden to anyone. For when the brothers came from Macedonia, they fully supplied my need. And in everything I kept myself from being a burden to you, and will continue to do so, as the truth of Christ is in me. This boasting of mine will not be stopped in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows that I do. But what I am doing, I will also continue to do, so that I may eliminate the opportunity from those who want an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Again, I say, let no one think me foolish. But if you do, receive me even as foolish, so that I also may boast a little. What I am saying, I am not saying as the Lord would, but as in foolishness, in this confidence of boasting. Since many boast according to the flesh, I will also boast. For you, being so wise, tolerate the foolish gladly. For you tolerate it if anyone enslaves you, if anyone devours you, if anyone takes advantage of you, if anyone exalts himself, if anyone hits you in the face. To my shame, I must say that we have been weak by comparison. But in whatever respect anyone else is bold, I am speaking in foolishness. I too am bold. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am speaking as if insane. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I have spent adrift at sea. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers among false brothers. I have been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? If I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, He who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the ethnarch under Aretas the king was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me, and I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall, and so escaped his hands. Proverbs 28:10-18. One who leads the upright astray in an evil way will himself fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good. The rich person is wise in his own eyes, but the poor who has understanding sees through him. When the righteous triumph, there is great glory, but when the wicked rise, people hide themselves. One who conceals his wrongdoings will not prosper, but one who confesses and abandons them will find compassion. How blessed is the person who fears always, but one who hardens his heart will fall into disaster. Like a roaring lion and a rushing bear is a wicked ruler over a poor people. A leader who is a great oppressor lacks understanding, but a person who hates unjust gain will prolong his days. A person who is burdened with guilt of human blood will be a fugitive until death. No one is to support him. One who walks blamelessly will receive help, but one who is crooked will fall all at once. Psalm 65. There will be silence before you, and praise in Zion, God, and the vow will be fulfilled for you, you who hear prayer. To you, all mankind comes. Wrongdoings prevail against me. As for our offense, you forgive them. Blessed is the one you choose and allow to approach you. He will dwell in your courtyards. He will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. By awesome deeds, you answer us in righteousness, God of our salvation. You who are the trust of all the ends of the earth and the farthest sea, who establishes the mountains by his strength, who is encircled with might, who stills the roaring seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. They who dwell at the ends of the earth stand in awe of your signs. You make the sunrise and the sunset shout for joy. You visit the earth and cause it to overflow. You greatly enrich it. The stream of God is full of water. You prepare their grain, for so you prepare the earth. You water its furrows abundantly. You settle its ridges. You soften it with showers. You bless its growth. You have crowned the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with fatness. The pastures of the wilderness drip, and the hills encircle themselves with rejoicing. The meadows are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are covered with grain. They shout for joy. Yes, they sing.